Hello and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com, with me as your host, Chris Sarlacc Pit Monster McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the new Star Wars Retro Collection reveal by Hasbro at Toy Fair is Adam Grand Moff Riches. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. Earlier today, Target posted a number of interesting pre-orders on their site that revealed Hasbro's brand new Star Wars Retro Collection line. Within minutes, the listings were removed from the site, and apparently it was because Hasbro hadn't revealed them officially at that point. In any case, the rather spoiled reveal showed us a six-figure range of Kenner-style re-releases, including Han, Chewie, Leia, Luke, Darth Vader, and a Stormtrooper, in vintage-style packaging with a fake wear and tear and a large red Retro Collection sticker on display. The response was mixed and in some cases very heated from the Star Wars collector community, but an element of the line hadn't been shown to that point, and it wasn't until the Hasbro Pulse panel that a very special figure was revealed, Grand Moff Tarkin. He will be packaged exclusively with the Escape from Death Star game and will be sold exclusively at Target in May. So Adam, take us through your feelings as the day progressed, would you please?
Well, earlier in the day my apathy was burning hotter than Tatooine's dual suns, but... Now that there's been some time to settle down and reflect, my feelings are about as cold as Hoth. So, there's a lot to unload here. You know, if you had said 5 years ago to me, and probably to a million other Star Wars fans, what would be your number one thing right now, like say in the lead up to The Force Awakens, that you would love to see Hasbro do with the toy line? It seems like such a no-brainer at that time with Funko and Super 7's reaction figures kind of being at their pinnacle of popularity, to have been like, well, obviously, to make new Kenner-style 70s, 80s retro Star Wars figures. And I love the vintage line. I mean, and now to clarify, because this is getting so confusing, when I say vintage line, I mean the figures that came out from 77 to 85, not the vintage collection or the retro line, the actual vintage figures. I love those figures. I have all of them. It's the only complete Star Wars collection I have, and far and away the thing that I value the most of my Star Wars collection. And the one part of the franchise that I feel like can never really let me down.
Yeah.
And so the concept of getting more new figures to add to that 40 years later seems pretty appealing, even though you go into it knowing that they're crappier figures than, you know, modern production figures would be.
Yeah.
So when the news broke yesterday that we would be seeing some kind of retro assortment figures being revealed today, I was excited, but I also kind of had that excitement tempered because I just kind of knew, like, you know, we talked about this extensively off air, but you kind of knew going into it that there was just no way that they were going to avoid doing the core characters.
Yeah.
You knew that in some shape or form you'd be seeing Han and Chewbacca and Leia and Vader and Luke. And in my mind, I thought, you know, there is a way around that creatively. Like, you could do Bok the Tank Luke, you could do Slave Leia, you could do Unmasked Helmet Vader. But, and this is where the problem comes in for me, and it's really a logic problem. I don't want re-releases.
Yeah.
And it's not that I want people to not be able to get them. It's not an elitist thing. It's that this appeals to me I think to such a small collector sector. Maybe I'm totally off base saying that, but I don't think that a kid that's into Star Wars now sees these very primitive looking figures from 40 years ago and gets excited about them.
Well, they didn't with the previous 5-point of articulation line, did they? And that was in the new style, as it were.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe this holds some different appeal. I don't know, but I feel like the people that these speak to are us, or people older than us, people that had them as kids. And these figures were made in a huge abundance. Like, they're still readily available and for pretty cheap. And not only that, but these same 4 out of the 6 figures were actually released in, I think, 1997 in a Toys R Us exclusive 4-pack.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand who these are for.
Yeah.
Now, I do understand the Stormtrooper as if you wanted to army build and have ones that are, you know, minty white, this is a nice alternative to get them for cheap. Easily. But even that, I'm a little like, you know, if you really want them, track them down kind of thing. I don't know. But and obviously right now there's all the, you know, the Transformers G1 stuff is hot. And I know that, you know, people think about that and that probably influences this a little bit. But
I think that is the main influence, is the fact that it's happening elsewhere and obviously within Hasbro's walls as well, isn't it? I mean, they're reissuing those G1 Transformers and that seems to be going down a storm. But to be honest, I don't know if you can really take the two exactly the same, you know, like that they're not, you know, comparatively very different situations. And I think a lot of people, you know, are looking at the G1 stuff back then, and it's hard to get it's especially in packaging, and it's very expensive. So I think that, you know, yes, there are expensive Star Wars items, especially in the vintage line, but I think you were right in that you can get a lot of that vintage stuff very easily.
And I do know that these figures are supposed to be a little bit taller than the vintage ones, but I still feel like this opens up a marketplace confusion. Star Wars collectors are so anti-repro, and it gives me very conflicted feelings about these. It's like, well, what are they? Are they official repro now? Like, it's just unnecessary to me. And also, I guess while we're on this topic, you know, this to me, this almost feels like we're being sold a memory of a memory of a memory at this point. It feels like second or even third wave nostalgia. And I was telling you earlier, like, my first memory of something like this was in the, I guess, late 90s or early 2000s. KB Toys did a line of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures, and they re-released the majority of the 88 and 89 figures, but on new card backs.
Yeah.
But other than that, the figures themselves were virtually indistinguishable. And that time, being, you know, not even an adult really, but older, you know, but having grown up with those original figures, it was kind of a cool thing to be like, oh man, you know, I remember these, or it's fun to have them again or whatever. But it just feels like at that time, it felt like more of a novelty. And now it's just so commonplace. And obviously this verse is about Star Wars, so we'll save a lot of this stuff for other discussions, but just looking at the overall climate of Toy Fair this year, everything is retro, everything is nostalgia, everything is rehash, re-release, repaint, and it's just like, it just gets a little exhausting.
We had this conversation again off air, but I mean, you wonder what we've missed out on, where, you know, people have pitched ideas to, you know, the higher up, shall we say, of these companies, only to be shot down because it's, you know, maybe too much of a risk. And then you think about, like, obviously the reaction is going to be, hey, this is going to be cheap and it's going to be easy to do, and we've already got the, you know, we've already got the facilities to do it, and we just have to churn them out again and people are going to buy them. What do you think? And it's always going to be yes, isn't it? It's always going to be that that's exactly what we're going to do because it's going to be easy money.
Yeah, and the thing that scares me about that is, you know, what happens when we're 60 years old? Are we going to be at that point getting the anniversary of the anniversary of the anniversary edition? Like, there is a bottom
collection.
Yeah, you know, this well is only going to run so deep. And I say this as someone who absolutely loves all of this stuff. Like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm excited about all these rehashed things that I'm talking about. But at the same time, if you're not developing the future brand, the future pop culture sensation, the next thing that kids now are into that have that same, you know, primal love that we have for Star Wars, what happens? Like, you can't keep regurgitating this stuff forever. I mean, it's just, it's astonishing to me that, like, there was that four pack in 97, and a few years ago there was the mail away Rocket Fett that was the same thing, and there was the Gentle Giant 12 inch versions of these, and it's like, how many times can we remold these figures? I mean, they've already had the vintage collection in the same style packaging for the last, I don't know, decade plus, and that was supposed to, you know, harken back to the feelings of these, much in the way that, like, the 25th anniversary Joe line did, but at least those were newly tooled figures.
Yeah, I definitely feel your apathy towards getting this.
I think that really
again
is the best.
I mean, like, and that's the thing, you're right. I mean, it's been the trend for so long now. You know, as soon as we had the original, you know, figures, you know, almost like every anniversary since, or even not an anniversary, it's just a, you know, a day of the week, there's a, you know, reissued version of them. Those Turtles figures you're talking about have been reissued, what, four times now?
One of the Leonardo figure, literally the 1988 version of one Leonardo, was re-released in that Toys R Us 9-pack within the last couple of years. I mean, identical. 20, 30 years later, this stuff is still, like, over and over and over.
We had the military Donatello. We had Krang again. We've had a lot of those figures, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years. We've had them again. In fact, it's funny that G.I. Joe is one of the only ones that hasn't done that. You know, it's gone, very rarely has it gone back, other than when we had the comic packs that went back to kind of like O-ring during the new sculpt era, didn't it, as well? So, I mean, we've kind of had that happen, but we haven't had actual, you know, G.I. Joe carded O-ring figures sold back to us yet. I'm kind of waiting for that.
Well,
to be...
other than the Gentle Giant one.
Oh, of course, yeah, the Gentle Giant. But again, you can't really count that. It's not, they're about 16 feet tall.
Yeah, they're not identical.
But I mean, yeah, I suppose the tooling is there. They might have to scale it down a little bit. But yeah, and so I kind of feel like it's... And now obviously with the Transformers, we're getting reissues like all the time. I'm not even too sure if it's a way to kind of, I don't know, to kind of stop a lot of the bootlegs, a lot of the kind of Transformers bootlegs and a lot of the Turtles bootleg figures and so on and so forth from kind of filling that gap, as it were, and then people going to those to buy them. I wonder if that's like a part of it too, but I'm at the same token, it's clearly they're seeing dollar signs with this scenario. But at least you're getting a Grand Moff Tarkin. I mean, how excited were you when that kind of popped up?
Okay, so I guess now's the part where we pivot over to the one good aspect of this. So I am excited about the Grand Moff Tarkin figure. It's weird to me though that it has to come via this, that we have to get these six rehash figures to get him, and that of course, and they know this, that the one figure that's the only one that's really desirable out of this, you have to buy a whole board game to get, which in and of itself is also a reissue.
Yeah.
See, if I was plotting this line, I guess, you know, I'll do a little fantasy booking here. You know, I would have done the Cantina Band. I would have done Slave Leia. I know that's probably a controversial pick now, but, you know, Biggs Darklighter, Grand Moff Tarkin, like Garindan, that he say his name. Like, there are, you know, there's some obvious ones that are kind of glaring omissions. And you don't even have to get so obscure that we get into like the Willrow Hood territory, because that's just stupid to me. Like, I don't even really want that. But, you know, the more pivotal, like Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, like there are some, maybe not A-list, but certainly B and C-list characters that would really fit nicely in the vintage line. There's always, you know, more Ewoks if you wanted to go there or whatever.
Oh, totally. There's a whole well of untapped, unreleased figures. And I think if they'd have come out with more of a, you know, like if there was just the Grand Moff Tarkin figure, would that have been more palatable with the board game? Would that have been something you'd have been like, yeah, that kind of makes sense? Or do you think that because of this, you kind of almost have to have a retro line to kind of go along with it?
No, I actually think I would have preferred that. And this is another problem with this whole wave of regurgitated nostalgia. I can give you numerous examples of this, but like the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary line, for example, was supposed to be 25 figures and that was it. And obviously here we are, you know, a decade plus later and we still have
3,000 figures. Yeah.
The WWE retro figures that Mattel's doing right now. Originally, it was a one series novelty thing. It was a Walmart exclusive. Series 10 has just been announced.
Yeah.
And now, there's so many of those figures that they've now almost made as many of those as there were in the actual original line that it was homaging.
Amazing.
The Gentle Giant Star Wars figures, they've nearly made the whole line, I think. So you see this and you just think to yourself, like, I think there's exactly 100 figures in the vintage Star Wars line. Are we going to end up with 100 of them now? Are we going to have every Cantina alien and all the, before this is done? Like, I don't need that. I don't even want that. Like, and I know that sounds like a strange thing to say as a collector, because I think you're supposed to just have, like, endless greed and the compulsion to collect constantly. But, like, you know, I don't. Like, to me, the novelty is you get a handful of figures that seamlessly fit into your collection and it's just great and you feel like, you know, you've really completed it and you've gone back and put a little cherry on top of something that you've had for 40 years. But I don't know, it worries me to think where this could potentially lead, judging by the fact that these sold out in like 5 seconds.
But would you not look at it as, you know, in your situation, you'd be kind of cherry picking to fill those gaps, and for other people that may, you know, this might just be, like you say, like a niche novelty kind of thing for them to maybe collect or start collecting or get into it or anything like that. I mean, you know, because obviously this coming from a situation where, you know, we are collectors, that feeling is of we need to get all of this stuff. But in this case, would you just cherry pick it and feel happy to be able to do that, knowing that you've only got like one or two here and there to kind of grab?
Well, in theory, yes. But like I said, the compulsion, you know. I won't buy the six original ones because I have them already. And I don't want anything outside of the original trilogy in this style either, because I'm sure it'll lead to that eventually soon too. But if it was just, say, maybe 10 or 20 original trilogy characters and it stopped there, like, that would be fine. I'll get all those, I'll cherry pick them, that'll be cool. But you just know if this sells well, you know, there'll be an endless amount of them.
Whoa. Because that'll be the thing, won't it? If it does sell gangbusters, which, let's face it, by the way people were reacting to, even the ones that were angry and hating it were still buying them.
Oh yeah, they're like, this sucks, I'm only gonna get 25, you know? Like, yeah.
I mean, if that sells through, you're gonna get prequel figures, because obviously you're gonna run out of characters in the original trilogy in about, you know, in about 16 waves.
Yeah, and that's how it should be, but it won't be, you know.
I know exactly what we're going to get now for the next... I reckon this is going to be what, like a 5 or 6 year job. What do you reckon?
I could see that easily. Yeah, I mean, it's for sure. Obviously, it's going to see us through the next movie cycle, but you know, you've got Disney Plus coming and TV shows, and if this works, they'll just enroll them out endlessly. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that Black Series is only supposed to be a limited release thing too. And
yeah,
here we are.
I noticed as well there was a couple of 6-inch Black Series figures, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan, that they're going to do on those old school vintage. I say old school vintage.
Does that not make you feel like you're 150
that
years
makes
old?
Me feel
I remember
really
buying
old,
in stores. I guess we should circle back though and actually talk about Moff Tarkin and not just go off on a tirade like I'm doing. So we had discussed this a little bit off air too, and I guess it's worth mentioning. I think a big part of the success or failure of these figures lies in just how vintage accurate they look and feel.
You mean just how shit they are?
Yeah. But for one thing, you know, they said that obviously these are going to be a little bit bigger. So that makes me wonder now, does that mean that Moff Tarkin is going to stick out from actual vintage figures? Because that's kind of, you know, a bummer if he does. But
do we know how much bigger and why?
I think just to help differentiate. But of course, you know, when you're seeing a lot of figures in an auction photo, that's not going to change anything. So
I mean,
I don't really know.
Stamp it with something, for God's sake. You know, stamp it with 2019 or something along those lines. I don't see why... You know, you have to have all of these things. I mean, the whole point is to fit in with the line. And if they're bigger than the originals, then they're not fitting in.
They should have given them all sun-bleached limbs to match the faded car the crackle. So as far as the Moff Tarkin figure goes, though, aside from the scale issue, which remains to be seen, the actual sculpt I'm a little bit curious on. And obviously, we don't have it in hand. I can only go by the photos we've seen. But it almost looks a little too good to me. If you look at the vintage Star Wars figures, the vast majority of them, like if I just showed you a head with no context and I said, who is this? I don't think you'd be able to tell me a single one. Like, the likenesses don't look like any of the actors, even in the slightest.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that it was like, sculpt a guy with a, you know, blonde bob. Like, no photo reference.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like with this, it's like they really, you know, there's some likeness there. Like, they definitely looked at reference materials. And I don't know if that's going to hurt it or help it. The plastic quality is a big one, too. Obviously, the older figures are made out of... Is it ABS plastic? Probably, because they all are starting to degrade now and get that sort of sticky feeling. Obviously, they're not going to make them out of crappy materials now because they've learned, you know, a few things in the last 40 years of making figures. So my main concern, I guess, if you want to call it that, is just that these will fit in nicely with the originals.
Yeah.
And if he does, that'll be awesome. I know there's a lot of people that are worried about if the weapons are going to be an exact match to the originals. I'm sure they won't. But he does look like he comes with that standard blaster that like half the vintage line came with.
I mean, I suppose in one way, if this does sell dramatically well, then Hasbro are in the right to do it. Because obviously from a business perspective, and this is just a pure like, you know, money-making standpoint here, all of the stuff that we said, you know, put aside... then they have to do this. If this is something that's going to make them a lot of money, then surely this is something they can't afford not to do this, basically. But at the same time, if it doesn't, what is learned in this situation? Are we coming to the end of the nostalgia thing? Because it doesn't feel that way. It feels like we're actually in the prime of the nostalgia feeling kind of scenario at the moment. Like it's weird. I feel like I've gone through about 16 nostalgia eras already in my lifetime, and I'm not even 40 yet. So like at what point, like you say, at what point does it stop and we start getting new things? What point do we start looking at, you know, looking at like a new audience? I suppose maybe the audience is the fact that we are the only audience out there for this kind of stuff, amazingly, you know, as it's turned out, because kids are elsewhere. Our kids of our age, you know, when we were into this kind of stuff, are doing so many other different things, and these companies are scrambling to try and work out what it is, you know, we're trying to tap into those kind of things, and mainly computer games, mainly, you know, tablet, phone, etc., etc. But I wonder if we are the only f***ing audience that exists for any of this stuff now.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, you would like to think that parents that grew up with this stuff are passing it on to their kids or raising them to watch the movies. But the toy sales of The Last Jedi and Solo would indicate otherwise.
Mm.
And I think that's why we're seeing us go back to the well again and again and again. But I don't know. That's really the question for the ages. And I think that's that's probably the most interesting thing to think about in the future is where does this all lead us?
Damn, this got deep fast, yeah. Didn't it? We're going to have to do a knob joke or something just to kind of like level it out. Okay, so will he be getting the Grand Moff Tarkin and the game?
Well, unfortunately, I guess I will be getting the game if I want the Moff Tarkin. So yes. Although I guess this is worth mentioning. This is a little side thing for whatever it's worth. The retro logo that's on these figures, I don't really mind it. I mean, it's nice to have an obvious differentiation between the vintage figures, yeah, on the ones that are straight up re-releases. But why did they put it on Moff Tarkin? Because having never existed before, it seems kind of pointless to deface his card like that, especially when it literally is covering a part of his face.
I wonder if those stickers are removable, or are they? Can you tell that they're like, you know, designed on the actual card?
I'm pretty sure it's actually a part of the card.
Which is a shame, isn't it? Because you kind of think... I suppose they have to. Do they have to do that? Is that something kind of like, not from a legal position, but something to, they have to, there has to be some sort of differentiation between the two. But that does seem quite dramatic, doesn't it?
It's just garish. I think there is a way to do something that, there's already other things on the card, like the fake...
The weathering.
And the fact that it doesn't have the little white area that usually has the price on it, and it has like a choking hazard warning on it now. It's like there's enough differentiation on there already that you didn't really need this, but...
Plus, flip it around and it's got the date on it, so, you know...
Yeah. Well, and the bubbles are different. I mean, everything's different, so it's not, I don't know, it just seems kind of gross. But, or it would have been fun maybe to like have that little blurb be about another figure, like have a mail away offer or something, like,
yeah, that would have been very cool. Mail away Boba Fett, for example.
Yeah, if they hadn't already used that, this would have been a great place to put that Rocket Fett mail away. But
mail away Jango Fett, just to really screw everything up completely.
Yeah. They have complete and utter disregard for the timeline.
Anyway, dude, I mean, any more to add? How are you feeling now that, you know, that we've got to the end of the day? Are you feeling any better than you were when you first started this?
I don't know, honestly. Like, I know it's absurd to put such, like, dramatic emotion on, hinging on whether you're going to buy re-release figures or not, but... I'd be lying if I said today hasn't given me a bit of an existential crisis when I see so much re-release and so much nostalgia. And I'm just like,
I mean, we've got what, Super 7 doing Toxic Crusaders. We've got, they're obviously doing a load of like the old movie He-Man stuff. I mean, that's been on, like, you know, that's been churning around for ages. The whole Reaction figures and Funko, yeah,
Marvel figures that are coming now on the early 90s Toy Biz style, yeah, cards.
Yeah.
I think it's especially weird when you've lived through all this stuff in its first incarnation. Like, as a kid, when I got the Hall of Fame G.I. Joe 12-inch Duke figure, like, there was a novelty there because I wasn't alive for 60s G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
So it felt like, oh, this is a cool like throwback or whatever. But now it's like, I was there for this stuff. I still have,
dude,
most of this stuff.
Dude,
like,
we're getting 90s Action Man again soon. So, yes. And I lived through that. And it's like, oh my God, really? And also, I kind of feel like, oh, are we also, I mean, are Hasbro also going to dip into re-releasing Phantom Menace figures eventually? Like, are we going to get like that era's card re-released with those exact figures, just like we're getting with this 5-point of articulation? Do you know what I mean? Are we going to get that again? Are we going to be, is that what's going to happen? Is that the circle of life with toys?
Well, it's also strange to me that this stuff was just, like I said, it was made in such a huge abundance. Like, do we even need this stuff? Like, Marvel Comics does a line of True Believers comics that are 99 cents, and they're like, they reprint key issues.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool if it's a significant thing you don't have, but like some of them, like X-Force number 1 sold 5 million copies. Like that book is so plentiful literally everywhere on earth. It's like, if you never reprinted it again, you'd still never have a trouble finding one for a dollar, an original one. So I just, is there a need for this? Does the demand really justify creating the supply at this point? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Well, in any case, we are getting the retro collection line from Hasbro with the Star Wars guys, and obviously if that's something that you're into, then great. And if it's not, like Adam, then you're just gonna get the Grand Moff Tarkin, then that's also great. You guys cherry pick away. Obviously I did live through this as well, so it's weird to see a lot of this stuff coming through again. I don't know, the whole thing is really odd to me. When I saw the Grand Moff Tarkin, though, I went crazy. I was like, this is amazing. We're finally getting a Grand Moff. So, or as for some reason, the Facebook post translated it to Great Moff Tarkin, which was quite hilarious. So for those of you that were correcting me on it's actually grand, I'm fully aware Facebook decided to translate it and show that instead. I don't know why. You can click on see original and see what I wrote originally. It's even changed because I wrote ooh to start off with and it changed it to oh. So I don't know what the fuck is going on with Facebook right now. It's probably having a lot of issues with all the flooding of Toy Fair news coming in. We'll be doing an all-rounder kind of catch-up at the end of Toy Fair with, I think, Adam and Justin so far. See if I can get the other guys on as well. But we'll do like a kind of an all-round catch-up of some of the things that have kind of caught our eye and that we're really interested and we're really into from Toy Fair. And of course, we'll be chatting with Boss Fight when they get back about their Toy Fair experience. So more to come from Toy Fair. Keep checking out the Facebook page and the Twitter feed. I mean, it is constant. Kind of chilled out a little bit today at this point, but tomorrow I'm sure we'll be getting some cool stuff coming through again. So Adam, thank you so much for jumping on. I really appreciate it.
No doubt, homie. You know, Hasbro might have broken me. I was a completionist, but I'm still in this game. I still got much love. I'm gonna show you a picture of my collection. You can flash it up here so everyone knows I still love Star Wars. And you know, when we get that big all-around catch-up, I'll make up for my apathy here and talk about how much I love all these other things I saw.
Thank you, buddy. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host. I've got Justin Bell written here, but I'm going to say Adam Riches. See you next time. And as always, Toy Fair. Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.